explanation.
Yeah. It's got something.
I have seen that he had a medium, and I didn't see him any of the things too.
Oh.
I didn't see him get you.
Yeah.
How do you see this to us?
Oh, that's well. Very well indeed. Very well. I'm very pleased to hear you come through. Come on, Fred. If you win, you turn better.
You by me in another name.
Yes,
yes. You write it down and get it typed out. Is that what you mean?
Yes.
I can imagine you have a very big correspondence for me and another getting these things out of the bank.
Yes,
you
do.
So we have quite a big correspondence.
That's quite a room that you got there.
I can see it.
If you were to move. That's what they're talking about. You're going to have quite a bit of stuff to shift and get all the night.
Yeah.
Yes. That's no joke.
No, a little bit. He's good at speaking.
Hey, Davis, may it last for me that you call me by Davis.
David, what did you make before, David?
A long time back now. At least I think so. I think there's time business and there was a problem, but I think it was quite a while since I last came to speak to you. How are you now? Are you better now?
Oh, yes, you were very sick
at one time. You know, you were really run down.
Yes, an operation, you see.
Aye, I heard all about that. You had a pretty bad time.
Yes.
Are you all right now?
Yes.
Aye, that's a good attention and care that you get out of space when you need it.
Yes.
You're
very good
at
that,
of course.
Really?
You see, some of how it started.
The fourth birthday, you've been very quite good.
And what are you doing, Miss David, at that size?
Rescue work most of the time.
Rescue work?
That's been my main interest, helping people over. Quite often, you know, you get statues of the souls who are in really great need, and they're very close to earth, and they're found held down by thoughts and things, you know, passions, and all that, you know. And of course, when you get some of these young people come here, they're busy thankful, some of them have been taken away from her. Their mind is full of material things. It's not always easy to get them to sort of adjust themselves. And then they came to their homes and that sort of thing, and parents and friends. And you get some of these terrible things, you know, that happen with people. Sit over here, you know, it's like, being a youth girl woman and the next thing I had was a body, you know, and that still sort of in a way attached to the body, clinging to things, you know.
Yeah.
Like you get someone through the car crash, you know, it all happens to people. And before you can see Jack Robinson, they're out of the body and they can see what happens. Mm-hmm. And at first they don't realize it's too sensitive, they're still always cutting underneath you straight away. Some do, of course. It's always problematic. It's still that they're trying to get back, you know, sometimes into the body. It's very difficult. I've been working on a case just then of a young lady who was killed in a car. He hit a lorry, you know, a lorry hit him.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, he was out in a split second almost, you might say. But, of course, there was all the terrible mess and all that, and the ambulance, and he was clean, he was sick, you know. They went to the ambulance and the body and the hospital and everything, and Roxy, and he couldn't sort of adjust himself to the idea that he was dead. It was a weird thing in a way, because he was still sort of clean to the material things. And anyway, and then he went to his home and to his parents and hung there, you know, and of course, they had only just heard the news and was a telegraph sitting here naturally, and mm-hmm. he was trying to bang on the table and trying to attract her attention and get the news of her eye that he was there, but of course they didn't see him, and that made him furious. He got so cross, you know, and it seems odd to talk about the soul and the sound of the body getting annoyed and getting cross, but mm-hmm. when people first come here, they're no different than what they were. You know, and then your body, and you still have the same outlook and same sort of idea. And he was furious because no one could see him or take any notice of him. He tried everything he could think of to attract attention. But of course, he was never able to do anything spectacular, which might have made us not sleep. I mean, you get some of the souls that are able to move objects around the room or tilt a table up and down or do something crazy like that, you know, just to let people know. But he did not know how to do any of these things. He was just walking around and he went to his funeral and everything and all his friends and tried to go to them and help them, you know, try to make him know his about. But he didn't have enough faith, you know. Anyway, I was able to help him gradually to get away from things and change his outlook a wee bit. But he was very strong in the material things. He was more of the earth than he was in the east. It took me quite a while to get him free.
How did you get
through
to him? How did you manage it?
Oh, I have my own makers, you know, but different souls on this side of that and that sort of capacity there. Yeah, some are different makers, styles, it's true according to their own individual life and ideas of things. And certain people need a certain way of being treated. And it has. Well, I just went around with this boy, didn't see me at first, of course, because he was so blind to anything other than the sphere. He was so immersed in himself in material things. But gradually, when he began to feel, in a sense, lost, you know, he did not get me away with all his tantrums and bangings and one thing or the other, and trying to talk against him. Then he began, no doubt, walking down on him, and his mind seemed to change a wee bit. It's as if he sort of opened up. And then, of course, he became conscious of other things, and me in particular. And I was chummy and patting him and talking to him and trying to make him see some things. And I said, well, what's the point of you hanging around here, Abby? You're no better anyway, because no one's going to take a mind better notice of you. Basically, a genius would come and leave. And I'll be able to help you a lot. And at that time, I discovered too that he'd been bit under an animal, a dog. And although he didn't know this at the time, he didn't realize, of course, when he'd been going to his parents' place, the dog was there. But he didn't cotton on to the fact. He didn't realize that, although he could see the dog, he did not realize that the dog is dead. It was a big dog, he just couldn't appreciate that, so he was sort of all caught up in the material side of things. Anyway, the dog followed him around too, trying to make himself sort of, you know, known, as it were, you know. And gradually, as the boy became more aware, and I was able to bring this dog to him, you know, to his consciousness, as it were, you might see, he began to realize that because the dog had died some few years previously, in medical him in a way because he was happy to be with the dog, and also then his grandparents, I was able to contact them and they were able to make a link, and gradually he opened up his mind to things that were of the spirit. He was gradually loosening his hold on material things, and then I took him to a spiritual meeting. I thought perhaps that might be some help in some way if we could get through and sort of make a link, you know. Well, actually, I was able to manage to make a contact with the leader, but he did not succeed in that. But anyway, he could see the possibility of getting through, getting over, you know, and that gave him a sort of a lift up a bit. But at the same time, he was still very suspicious, and I think he was suspicious in the way of all sorts of things, apart from the mediums and that sort of thing. He didn't cotton on too easily to mediums, but he began to realize the possibility. But of course, what annoyed him, I think, after that, he went to superstitious, and none of these mediums seemed to cotton on to him being there. He didn't seem to see him, although he tried to show himself. And I think that made him a bit edgy and nervous, But the best thing to do is not to try that at all, not to force that at all, no, but to wait a while. Anyway, he's very, very terrible, but he and his pagan interest in various things, things which on earth he did not do. It's another fact, I suppose, being so young too. He had no formative ideas, no strong sort of ideas about what he wanted to be. At least he didn't give that impression to me. He was rather, shall we say, quite happy to get in a car and just speeding around and that sort of thing. I'm not surprised that he might escape at me, because in all these hours, didn't he make out? He was not the sort of deep-thinking sort of person. Actually, he was rather a difficult case. And in a kind of way, he was just, oh, anyway, he was not a bad lad, but at the same time, he was thoughtless and I was just sitting with him. It took him a little time to get adjusted, but now he's making good headway and he's taking a great interest in music and in art, and he's beginning to study and beginning to settle down and meeting interesting people, and he's beginning to form something, you know, that I've been said, you know.
Did anyone
have a relation? His grandparents and his mother's now just about to come over, and I guess she'll be here very soon. I think that would make him very happy too. Because you see, there again we come back to this time element. Time is nothing, it's an illusion. And I think that his mother, after he had this accident, she lost all interest in life. I think this is sad too, in a way, because it will be happy when she dies, and it won't be any day after now. But he's settled down and he's very much happier and there. I'm better too, like that now. That's better actually, because it was on us. Because he was the sort of boy who did not take much interest in anything and anybody on your ship. His parents have done pretty well in a little business that I had. And you know, they sort of spurred him, sent him to a good school and all that, gave him all the opportunities. And I think he was a rather selfish young man, there's no doubt about that.
You know,
often there's
about these
aircraft
you're
doing
here. People in the
middle of course have a rather close problem. Well, that's another kind of thing that's good about when you get these sort of things happening. It's always worse when people come like sudden like that, you know. It's very bad indeed. And we've had many of those cases when they've been bad air crashes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard from quite a number of instances like that. Often they have a resentment towards society, and sometimes they things work, and they can be, some of them things work that are very uptight, and they can do a great deal of harm. But sometimes they impinge their thoughts and pinch themselves on a person on your side, who probably in a normal way is quite a decent sort of person. Sometimes they even influence that person to do wrong things. There's no doubt about it, but they still get souls who were certainly not very good people and did some perhaps pretty bad things. And they don't necessarily change immediately, as you well know. Sometimes they get asked times and kill the people. Indeed, quite a lot of mental asylums and things. There's a lot of Afghan spirits, mischievous, and sometimes very bad spirits around people there who are weak-minded. As a matter of fact, there are crowds of souls in this life, doctors and people who specialize in helping mental patients on your side, trying to influence them for good, of course, and to help them to get mentally straight lives and get them physically fit and well. But we always battling against those bad forces, and we always remember there are dangers, there are souls who are not necessarily always evil or anything like that, but who really can be very disastrously, you know, inclined and sometimes do harm. We do what we can to get them away. Well, that's a ticklish question, why should you be sorry? That's what may affect, you know, may be effective in one way, one person may not be effective in another. There are various methods I used, and there are various people on this side who specialize in dealing with cases of what you call obsession. But a great deal depends on the individual case. Usually we're successful. But there are cases, of course, where it's very difficult to remove obsession spleen, particularly when they take more or less complete their possession. Even if it's only a kind of borderline case, it's not too bad. But sometimes there's really not complete control over someone else's physical body. It's a very, very difficult thing indeed. And there have been instances, of course, where people have gone through the rest of their life, the body has been obsessed by some other soul. This has been one of the worst things known about that. You know, a lot of people in mental asylums are not bad in as much as they're not responsible. Sometimes they're obsessed with spirits, and that's why you get these cases of people who are perfectly normal for a while, and then all of a sudden they start to do something which is irrational, and it's obvious that someone else is taking control. Actually, I think it's a pity that psychiatrists and people who deal with mental patients don't know more about possession, don't know more about this sort of thing, this subject which you know quite a bit.
Would
be a great help for them.
Yeah.
I think that they should know more about this.
I'd like to mention possession of the crowd, which is very good for community,
but they're
not
really
off or something like that.
You don't understand.
Yeah. What about suicide, David? I mean,
they can be the best too, can't they? Oh, there are many instances, of course, where people have committed suicide when they've been under a bad influence. But, of course, quite often, most suicides is due to the individual themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They get into a depressed, unhappy state. And in consequence, they take over life thinking to escape, but of course, they can't escape from themselves. There's a thing that people should be made to realize that death doesn't necessarily mean an escape.
Right.
You still have to face up to your self. You can never escape this death. The self is not the same.
You have to escape yourself?
Sometimes.
Mm.
You see, that's the trouble. Only as you do quite blindly, naturally ask certain questions about whether suicide or obsession. It's very difficult to give a clear-cut answer, because what it may apply in one instance or one case doesn't necessarily apply in another. Every individual case is an individual case, and it's different. Every person is not the same. The reasons for people being as they are not the same. The conditions, the circumstances are variable. What may apply in one case doesn't apply in another issue.
That's interesting.
In fact, there must be a lot of reptile spirits there.
Well, the whole condition around there is obsessed with, obsessed with spirits of all kinds, good, bad, and different. And the whole atmosphere is charged with forces which are very difficult sometimes to overcome. Those of us who act in the capacity of helping souls over, those who act in the mere trying to give them out of the conditions, sometimes come up against great problems, great difficulties. There's so many souls there, around there, earthbound souls too, in the whole atmosphere around that part of the world, wherever there's intense hatred and fighting, and where there's all the evils that you actually have to have let loose. Obviously, the conditions are such that it's very difficult at times to pierce. Of course, we do succeed, obviously, and we're able to help many people. But at the same time, the conditions are poor.
You must be a pretty careful when you have to handle those conditions.
I know. But one is sort of, well, accustomed to himself to it's one's work, and one loves to help people. And after all, the Lord often seeks the greatest that need. And more help is given.
Mm.
Of course, we cannot do very much until the individuals themselves begin to show a desire for assistance, a desire for guidance, a desire for help. So single with you people, with all the work that you do, with the best of heart and best of intention, you cannot make anyone accept something or reawaken or awaken an interest in something until they themselves are more or less ready for it.
Mm-hmm.
People have got to be cooperative. In other words, unless they're cooperative, there's not much that you can do about it.
Mm-hmm.
You can put the thing there right under the nose, but the goat wants to see it. And there's nothing you can do about it.
Mm-hmm.
You just can live the best you can, mm-hmm. and try not to get too depressed in the process. You're bound to get disillusionments and disappointments, but just think that one person that you get and guided and made happy and given great faith and confidence, and then at least it's been worth it.
Mm-hmm.
In any case, you meet interesting people, you learn something about people anyway. Life is always interesting. There's no such thing as down this way. Mark of the Spirit's concern, believe me. I always feel that you do a remarkable work considering the many obstacles that you have one way and another. The tragedy, of course, is that all the people that you would have thought would have been a great help, you know, that would have cooperated with you, rather than the people who put the obstacles up. Mm. We find that too. You'd be surprised. We get all sorts of obstacles put in the way. And some of the people that we have to contend with, if we had enough sense of humor, I don't think we can carry on. Unfortunately, I have a very good sense of humor. But we get some weird cases from me and her. You get some people who really, you think, you say, this man really is so stupid. You know, and people with so-called brains or intelligence on the highly cultural types, do some of them, that you would have thought would have been very quick to learn, very quick to take into themselves new knowledge and experience. They're very too glad to behave. Often they prove, sometimes anyway, very difficult to behave. Religious ones are always the worst. I think their prejudice is so strong, and they're so concerned with themselves and their salvation, and they're so convinced that they're eventually going to be given a great reward. I mean, it's a great shock to them when they realize that the only reward they're going to have is what they've got to work down hard to get. And it can't be just had for the sake of saying, I believe in this and there it is. You've got to work for it. There's nothing given away. It's very interesting life. I'm very glad to know that I can do what I do. But the great joy of it is that one is living all the time, experiencing and meeting and encouraging and helping other people, and the learning from them as they're learning from you. There's not a down moment. No one needs fear dying. It's the greatest thing that happened to anyone. It'd be terrible to go on and on and on. And in the material sense, you know, sometimes it amazes me when some of these people who get scared, you know, of dying and just want to cling to the earth. One feels sad and sorry for them. But you know, they just don't realize what a wonderful future, what a wonderful life there is, what excitement, what interest, what a wonderful things can be done and achieved, the new interest that they can have, and they can do all the things here that they never wanted to do and couldn't do on that. And there's no old age, no age, no pains, only a complete and absolute freedom of spirit and of mind. Once you release yourself from your prejudices and the old ideas that are holding you back, here there are no limitations. You can go as high as you like, but you have to go skinny, you have to learn, feel your way. But there's never any feeling of frustration. If there is any frustration, it's that which you create when you think. If your mind and your heart is open to receive truth and hope, then everything is there for you. It depends on you. You've got to make the effort, and you've got to do the digging. You know, you've got to lay the foundations before you can build a house.
David, what happens to people who have got firm convictions? When they die or they don't exist any longer,
and
what sort of
conditions
do they come over?
Well, depends. Again, you mustn't generalize, but there's some who soon reawaken, soon to new thought, new ideas, but soon change their views either. There are others who pass sleep, you should say. They're not speaking in the sense that you've got to speak, but in a kind of state where they have not a consciousness or awareness. And gradually, of course, things begin to dawn upon them and they begin to realize things. It depends so much on the individual case. It depends on the reasons why they are or think they are, as they do. And circumstances and backgrounds and all sorts of things.
Mm-hmm.
All these things can affect and apply. that invariably, most people anyway, if one talks to the general sense, most people on the ego side soon readjust themselves, soon realize the new life that they are and the cultures of all the conditions and the surroundings and the peoples and the whole community and the loved ones that they've known in the past that are working on the border. In other words, the average person has none to fear. Indeed, no one has to fear, of course, really, in a sense, nothing who you would like to meet. But to some extent, it depends on the individual. It's the kind of life which they find and the kind of setting which they create. I mean, everyone creates, but that's another thing that people don't realize. To a great extent, indeed, it's true to say that you create for yourselves accordingly. If you think on the wrong lines, and if you have many prejudices, if your mind and heart is closed to truth, then obviously it's going to be more difficult. It's going to take longer. It's going to be harder for you to grasp things. But if you've got an open, free mind, if you have knowledge like you have, before you come here, it's a great asset, great blessing, and it will make all the difference to when you do come here. There's none of the drawbacks that so many people have. The worst drawbacks, I'm sure, that we've seen are the very strong prejudice ones. Have no prejudices, always have an open mind. Even the things that you're not sure about, just say, well, I don't know, and keep it in your mind if you can, but at the same time, never discard anything. Never sort of say to someone, well, I don't want that, because there may be somebody on truth or somewhere. Point is, try fighting for the highest that you can achieve. And if you follow me, but at times for the least part, that's to be expected. At least you have a re-raise to take up the challenge again and struggle on. People have got to realize that there are many needs, there are many aspects, there are many roles. But the point is that some are long and years from a difficult and hard, and there's very, very rare and easy path. But the truth, you learn a wee bit here and a wee bit there, and everyone can make some contribution. No one is too bad, no one is too good. There's every opportunity for every soul to find his own happiness and his own need. And on different levels of consciousness, we can't all be on the same level, on the same sphere. But we can all aspire, and it is through aspiration and making the attempt that we achieve what we do achieve. And I think that to have the knowledge that you have, the realization that you have, this is a great joy, a great blessing, and it helps many people, especially those who are sad and sorrowing, and those who are afraid. This truth will take the fear out of life, and the fear out of death, and that's what really matters. Anyway, it's always a joy to talk to people like you, and I've come against them because of me. Anyway, I must go now. But all the very best to you both. Goodbye, and God bless you now.
It was a lovely talk.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much.
See you on the 28th.